Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, 12/9/2014, as we plow through December. It's already 10 days in, almost, tomorrow.
We have only a few days till the holiday, the great Christmas and Hanukkah. I think I was telling you that I went to this unbelievable, I can't put this in words, Christmas pageant at the local Baptist church that has like stadium seating.
And when stadium? Oh, this is a big, mega church.
Yeah.
Or a small one, at least.
And it's so big, they had fireworks in it. Jesus was rising on cables. He then came in on a donkey. There was camels. There was fireworks. There was confetti. It was fireworks
inside the church.
Inside the church.
So it was big enough that they could shoot off something and it would...
Yeah.
Huh.
It was unbelievable. I don't mean it wasn't one of those...
Church.
It wasn't like Disney fireworks.
No, that's so you burn the place right. down.
But it was really quite amazing. It was the fireworks and the event. It was like 2 hours. Every member of the church is every member of the ensemble, about 300 strong, are members of the church. And it was like a Broadway production extraordinaire. I was hesitant. My wife says, "Let's go to the Christmas pageant." I'm thinking, I wonder why I've never gone to one before.
She's the one who said that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, she probably got the word that it was pretty cool.
Yeah, and we went. It was remarkable. The camels just blew me away. I've never had camels in my temple. It just doesn't happen. You know?
No, because they stink.
Oh, anyway, lots going on around the world, my friend. It seems like there is a catastrophe around every corner. As a matter of fact, this morning, when I started looking at futures early in the morning today, it was getting kind of ugly. This was after we saw there was an implosion in China. The market's there, down 5% on the Shanghai. They've been up and down 5% kind of a few times this week. Europe was getting just absolutely obliterated. The overall index there started down and didn't finish up at all from where it was, down 2.5% on overall. Like all the, you know, you look at all the different markets, like, inside of Europe, the major ones like Germany and Italy, France, a lot. But the big news of the day, who would have thought? Greece. Because didn't you think that Greece was solved? The problems?
Did I think Greece was solvent?
Solvent or solved. I thought
solved.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the Greece situation? No, I never got that impression.
Yeah. So down 12.5% their market today.
Wow.
Yeah. Worst ever day for that index. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Oh. And there were some election issues and some, you know, things. They're talking about actually going against the edict of the grouping that says you have to do this to Greece about their budgets and all that stuff. The Krojic?
Yeah.
And they said, well, maybe we're not going to go along with that. Maybe we think it would be better if we do this. And there's a few other things that have been building and it just got just absolutely smacked today. And so that kind of spilled over to our markets for the first hour. And then we forgot about it. Market started to move higher. I mean, Apple was down 1.5% today and all the techs were down. It was really ugly. Oil hit 62.50, I think.
All right.
Yeah, I know you. Woohoo! Go oil. So by the end of the day, the NASDAQ was up about 4%. Cap index, which was down about 1.5% early on, ended up 1.5% up on the day. Now, ask me why.
Why?
I have no idea. No idea.
I know why. It's because all the money that the Greeks, their people were selling in Greece and buying in the U.S., moving that money over here.
Aha. Good point. Very good point. Although, usually when that happens, you do see the dollar rising, the dollar drop pretty bad. As a matter of fact, during the overnight, the yen at one point was higher by 2.5%. That is enormous for a currency.
For one day?
Yep. Intraday. Wow. Ended up flat for the day, of course. Went down to 117.5, I think, from about 120, give or take. Maybe it was a little bit higher than that. Ended at 119. Japan was down as well. And this currency
dollar is still at the $123.67 for the euro.
On the euro, yeah. But it also moved down today. Gold climbed about 30 points. Oil ended up on the day. This is kind of crazy stuff, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
it's still giving me the. I still got a few weeks left before the Dow hits 18,000.
Oh, you're going for 18,000 by the end of the year?
Yeah, that's what I've said. I said that.
We did talk about this. Wait, what did we talk about? Didn't we talk about if it hits? Oh, I think I won that bet. Remember, it was like if it hit this and that, and then like 3 weeks later, I won because it went down.
I don't remember.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway, but if you do hit 18,000 by the end of the year, and we're going to have to pick, you know, we should figure out what we talked about. I believe a year ago we talked about where the Dow was going to end up for the year, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I guess you said 18,000. I don't know what I said.
Well, I've always said 18. I think 18,000. But the thing is, I saw it bump up against 18,000 like, a few days ago?
Yeah, last week.
It was on its way, and I said, ah, here we go. And then it just as it got there, it bumped down. It just hit the ceiling. Ah, not going to do it. And then it dropped back. Now it's down, way down. And I'm thinking this may be one of those crappy barriers that we've witnessed over the years. There was one when I was a kid at 900. And then there was the 9,000 barrier. And then there was a 10,000 barrier, which came, you know.
Remember the party hats came out for that one.
Yeah. And then we haven't had any celebrations since then. I mean, even though it's gone past 15 and nobody cared. But 18 seems to be a number.
I think 20 is a number. I mean, 18's okay.
But 20. It may go past 20 next year.
You don't know. Well, there is lots of thought about what's going to happen towards the end of the year. This week, there is a Fed meeting and a lot of discussion about last week's job number, where we had 321,000 jobs added. 5.8% unemployment rate. But
is that before or after the adjustment? Oh, it's before the adjustment. Okay.
Yeah, well, but the adjustments have been actually to the plus side lately.
Oh.
And on top of that, there is one, if you want to kind of pick apart the jobs number and say, okay, well, you know, things were great and all that, and it was anything there. Well, the only thing that was concerning was the seasonality. In other words, the retailers that, you know, that were laying off people and, I mean, bringing on people and that will probably lay them off in the next month or so, especially with the soft retail sales we saw.
Yeah.
And I saw this week, there's a lot of, you know, these guys that come out of the woodwork, oh, they got it all wrong. This guy, the former CEO of Toys R Us, was on, and he's saying, oh, they got it wrong. The sales over the weekend and over the holiday had been very robust. And then he started talking about something that I need you to explain to me, because I had a problem with this. He talked about how it's more expensive for retailers in the internet space, in other words, the cost factors, compared to those in brick and mortar. Now, does that make any sense to you?
Not really.
I mean, he's saying that, you know.
Now, unless it's a retailer that has got internet and brick and mortar, and they're trying to juggle the two.
Maybe.
Then they do books funny, and they nick the internet side because they shipping or whatever, the expense of having that sort of department is not the same as having. I mean, it's not unusual. I mean, the mail order business has been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet business is the same thing without the mail component.
Right.
And the mail component was an expensive component because catalogs are very expensive to print and ship, especially even when the postage was low, it wasn't cheap. And the solicitation. Yeah,
they weighed like 30 pounds.
Yeah, and the solicitations are expensive. Typically for a mail order guy, in the olden days, now it's more expensive, but it used to be a dollar. It just costs you a dollar a person to ship them something, ship them a solicitation. And now that's all free. You just have to find some way to get them to the website. But when they get there, it doesn't cost you anything. It's all incremental on server costs. So I don't see
Server costs is so little right now. Storage costs are so little. The fact that you could change pricing on the fly to expand or contract margins depending on what's going on and to change your – and to have just-in-time processing and you didn't have to – worry about, okay, what are they? All right, we're going into the year. Who knows what they're going to buy? You know immediately what they're going to buy. Then the catalogs, you sent them out. You had to pay the post on that. Plus, you had to keep your pricing stable for a long time to keep up with the catalog. You couldn't just change your pricing.
Right. You couldn't. No, you can't do any of the flex pricing. You know, Amazon's got an interesting trick you should watch. If you look at something too long and they see you're interested in it, or if you put it in your wish list, they jack up the price.
Really?
If you don't buy it. Yeah, no, my son observed this, and then I started watching for it, and I saw it. So I was going to buy a, a specific electrostatic, not electrostatic, but a HEPA filter. It was a good deal.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't feel like spending the money at the time, so I put it in the wish list, or I put it somewhere. I ordered it and then canceled it. I did one of the above. And now, about 2 weeks later, the price of this item has gone up $25.
Oh.
Which is what he told me was going to happen.
So what does that do? That makes you rush to buy because you think it's going up even further?
Yeah, it's the inflation. They try to put you in inflation mode where you have to buy it because it's going to get more expensive. It makes you think it's going to go higher, and maybe it does. Maybe it goes up again. But I didn't bite. Actually, what I did, it killed the sale because I said, oh, I can't afford that. Because I was going to buy it. It was on sale. It was a good deal. And now I'm not going to buy it at all.
Yes, you will. So you know why? You know why? Because that thing drops in price, you're going to be all over it.
And that's what they did next.
What a deal. I got to get that now before it goes up again. And did you buy it?
He dropped the price back to where it was,
yep.
I bought it.
There you go. Sucked you right in, John C. Dvorak.
But it was. I saw it. I saw it come. I saw the manipulation, and I said, okay, you know, you got me. I wanted it anyway, so it wasn't as though it was something I didn't want.
Yeah, rationalization is good, huh?
But they do that, and they've done that with a bunch of different items, some things I was just casually looking at. They're telling you, oh, the price has changed. Bull crap.
I like that. I think it's pretty cool. They're very smart about that. Amazon also introduced something new today. It's like an eBay, like a bid. It's a make me an offer or something. I got it written down here. It's called something here. Make an offer feature. I'm not sure what this is all about. It was out tonight, this news that there's going to be.
What kind of items are they doing this with?
Well, that's what I tried to search on Amazon to see if I could find anything. I couldn't find anything. So I'm not sure where it is or what it is.
It may be just test marketed to certain customers.
It could be. And it seems to be direct, right at the throat competition for eBay. Right?
Amazon has taken a couple of shots at eBay.
Yeah, this is a big
over
one.
The years.
This is a direct
load. Just another one. No, I mean, if you're a company like Amazon, you think Bezos, kind of a psycho, you think big, you think you're going to take over the world. Everybody's your competition.
Well, it is true. I mean, they did take over the world, first of all, by the way. And, I mean, they did. They made some very big.
Closest you're going to get.
Yeah. They made some missteps. I mean, clearly, they didn't do well with that phone. They keep on dropping the price on it. Now, they did some. There's a lot of news on Amazon today. Amazon also now is taking over the sorting process for packages. So instead of sending it out to FedEx, just like, here you go, and then sort it out by zip code and area and all that stuff, they have facilities now that are dedicated just to sorting the packages, and they package them up on, they'll put them on a flat, and they'll put all the zip code 33172 or whatever it is on the flat or whatever the area is, and then get it off to FedEx. So now that saves probably a tremendous amount of money, and they probably get some greater discounts. Because obviously we know that all this free shipping, even though there is a $99 fee for the Amazon Prime, we know that you know, it's got to cost Amazon something. So now they're doing what they can to lower the pricing of their shipping by doing pre-sorting. Amazon also, there's more Amazon news. Amazon also told U.S. regulators, hey, boys, listen up. If you don't let us do more testing of our drones here in the U.S., we're going outside the U.S. to do it. I'm not sure what that's going to do, but they're pretty serious about this.
I think this drone thing's a loser.
It's cool, but a loser.
What do you think?
I have.
If you saw one, if you're out, I mean, slingshots. I don't even know where they use this thing.
The first thing I'm buying on Amazon is slingshots.
Slingshots will work. Yeah. You can get pretty good with a slingshot. I have a couple. And we have a tree that drops a certain kind of a berry. It's like a hard little nut-like thing. Perfect ammo for a slingshot. And, you know, it's good to shoot at squirrels and things.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You know, I never
get pretty accurate if you do it. You can get pretty accurate with a slingshot. I have to have air guns, but, you know, that's cheating.
I need to ask you something about a squirrel. A little bit of a
second. Okay, but in the meantime, if I saw one of these things, and if I've been in a rural area where it seems that it would come in handy to use these, I'd just shoot it.
Yeah. Don't you think a lot of people would be doing that? I mean, you know that this thing is coming along and there's a drone. I mean, what would prevent you? I mean, if they have cameras on them, I suppose. So you put a hoodie on or something like that, right?
You go behind a duck blind. and shoot it.
And then you run up to it with a can of spray paint to spray paint the camera?
The camera's, it's going to be blown to smithereens if you're using a shotgun.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, well, I don't know. And then it's going to drop this package. Now, how heavy can the packages be anyway?
I don't know. Maybe they're going to deliver doilies.
Okay. Now, back to the squirrel for a second. You know, people think squirrels are kind of cute, right?
Well, not if you live around them.
Well, what is the difference between a squirrel and a rat?
Or if you're over, 20.
But I don't understand what the difference between a squirrel and a rat are, besides a bushy tail.
That's the difference.
That is the difference, right? But yeah. We could tolerate a squirrel, but meanwhile a rat comes and everybody gets crazy and starts screaming.
Well, the rat likes to live in people's homes and eat the wires. The squirrels eat the wires outside.
Oh, well, that's kind of them.
They're kind of an outside rat.
You ever have rats in the house? That's just nasty.
I had one rat in the house once in my life, and it was from a there's a garbage dump that was some miles away that somebody had done something, and it drove all the rats out.
Ugh, terrible.
And they went everywhere. Mm. And one got in the house. And it was, like, very disconcerting because you generally don't have mice even, but sometimes you – because you could see this thing show up once in a while. And it was like if you've been around mice, you never – rarely catch a mouse. If you do, you see – visually, you see something. It's just a little flash. This, you see a big, giant thing. It's like a dog's in the house. And so I got one of those glue traps.
Oh.
And I knew where the rat's route was because it had been – you could see little – it was terrible experience. So I put the glue trap behind the television set that I know was one of the places he went by because I think I saw him do it once at night because like you get up at night and that's when you can find him.
Mm-hmm.
And he went, got in the glue trap, got stuck. And I remember it was huge. And he's in the glue trap. And I took a second glue trap and I put it on top of him and I pushed down to make sure that he was glued in good.
Ugh.
And when I pushed down on him, he goes, he makes this noise. It was incredibly creepy. And so then I grabbed the two rat traps on either side of him and threw them in a plastic bag and threw them in the garbage.
It's torturous. Rat torture.
Yeah, it's too bad.
It was like that movie. What was that movie with all the rats? It was somebody's name.
Ratatouille.
No, it was like a horror movie with all these rats and the guy, Ben.
Oh, right.
Remember that movie? Ben? He was like the king of the rats, this guy?
Well, I was in the old zoo, in the London Zoo, the Regency Park Zoo, I think it's called. They have this display, and I think they still have it. It is it's one of their live displays, and it's you go into a dark cave. The cave is dark, so it's got the remnants of being at night, and then they have a one-way mirror or something. And you're in the dark, so you can't light this up. And it's a darkened room that's lit with some red light or something you can kind of see. And you can look in at a kitchen. It's like a kitchen scene with rats running around. And you get to see how they run around. And there's like maybe 50 of them in there. And it's dark. They think it's dark because they think it's night and, it's not. It's daytime. And you watch it. It's not only fascinating, but extremely disturbing.
Oh, I can't even imagine. That sounds awful.
I recommend everyone see this exhibit.
And every once in a while, I'm sure they look at you and you see the beady little eyes looking at you.
They don't really look at you because they don't know you're there. Mm. It's just.
Well, you're talking about torture of rats, but let's talk about the big news about the CIA torture. Seems like.
segue.
Yeah, it seems like Congress was misled, or maybe they're doing a cover up of whatever this is by the CIA. And that they were torturing. And there's like a 6,000-page document unveiled today about the CIA and all their torture techniques and that they buffaloed George Bush and all these. And, we're not doing any of this torture. Remember this whole thing? We're not doing the waterboarding and all of this. Well, it came out that they were. And nobody knew about it, wink, wink, in Congress. Now, there's news that – this is where the disturbing part comes in, by the way. News that the detainees were dragged naked down hallways – that's not the part. Here it comes. And force-fed anally.
Yes, this is the one that's got everyone's attention.
First of all, it seems torturous not only to the detainee, but also to the guards.
You'd think.
The whole thing is foul.
That would be minimally. We have a lot of clips and some analysis on the Next No Agenda show about this whole thing because, and I tweeted this, I think what's interesting to me is you can, is not the, any of this. I'm the report is, I'm sure, fascinating. Adam will read it, I'm sure. But what's fascinating to me is the apologists coming out of the woodwork to come on as pundits on the different shows.
Mm-hmm.
Apologizing for the CIA or just rolling out talking points. And certain people, I mean, every show, I've watched all these shows, all the shows on Fox and MSNBC, all of them are apparently filled with CIA shills, except a couple. There's a couple of guys that are obviously not on board. They're not on the payroll. And it's and I'll be talking about them. And they stand out like a sore thumb. But the surprising one that really stunned me was Chris Hayes on MSNBC, and he just seemed kind of irked by the fact that he wasn't on the payroll.
Mm.
And he just went after him nonstop. He had the best guests. It was really a very well-done presentation. It was very objective. It didn't have all the same stooges coming on with the same talking points saying, well, you can never know. It could have worked. And all these apologies, a whole bunch of memes I'll have in the I'll have listed by then.
But what do they expect? What are we supposed to do with these people who are trying to do any kind of terrorist activity or kill Americans? Or, I mean, you know, this whole idea of, oh, torture is awful and we shouldn't do this to other human beings and all this. Meanwhile, you know, I don't know about you, but if I knew that somebody was going to harm my family and there was somebody that had information about when this was going to happen.
Well, no, but that's being honest about it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this is just plain revenge, sadism. Was somebody just felt like beating the crap out of people. But the problem was they documented 26 poor, innocent people that were dragged up in the dragnet who had nothing to do with anything. They were like shoe salesmen, and they tortured them too. And they didn't even follow their own rules about this. This is all in the report. It's a very interesting thing to read or try to read.
And do you think that they did, in fact, mislead Congress?
Or Yeah, there's no doubt of it. No, they have. It's all documented.
So you don't think that Congress is now there's a big cover because they want to make sure that Congress looks good.
No, I don't think so. I believe Congress was left in the dark. And I think on their, I mean, they and I think they like being in the dark in this thing. They didn't want to know. No, I don't know. I see nothing. Sergeant Schultz.
Yeah, I see nothing. I know nothing. Well, we'll see how this all plays out. But somehow it just seems to me to be politically motivated like it's like the stuff always is.
Well, that's what all the Republicans are saying.
Well, the Republicans should be happy about the fact that, you know, they're coming out with this and saying, oh, we didn't know about it, and because they were the ones being blamed for all of it. The Democrats are always like, no torture.
They're blaming Bush or Cheney, and it's a complicated thing.
Cheney gets the rap. I mean, who knows?
He probably is the bad guy, but this is going to just return in a new form when they go after the droning program. That's going to be next. Uh-huh. And they all are aware of this. A lot of the pundits are aware of the droning thing is going to be next on the list of things to expose.
Well, we shall see about that. All right, so let's see here else what I got on the list. Ah, GoPro. I mentioned that I got the GoPro, right? I told you that last week.
Yeah, GoPro. This is the never-ending GoPro story. How's the stock doing?
It dropped about 8% after I racked it off a cliff on Sunday on the Disciplined Investor podcast. I talked about how I thought it was just simply a novelty item and how that after the new year, the possibility was that, you know, it's not going to be this have-to-have deal that everybody thinks it's going to be. Now, meanwhile, let me give you what I took it out. I went fishing and I took the GoPro on an extension rod. Okay. Took it out.
You said you were going to do this.
Yeah. And so it was pretty cool. Well, a couple things. First of all, we put it in one of the rod holders on the mid part of the boat, right? The wide angle is pretty incredible. I mean, it gets from left to right. It's like 100, I don't think it's 180 degrees, but it's maybe, I don't know, 140 degrees.
Okay.
It's enormous. Good quality. Picks up the sound really well, sometimes a little too well. When you put it on the end of the stick, maybe a 3 foot, not very long, three, and you hold it away from you, it's like you see everything. It's like it's like you're in a helicopter looking over on top of the boat. And we had some fish on. So we had a dolphin on, mahi-mahi, beautiful blue, greens, yellow colors, stuck it right under the water, and it was awesome to watch it kind of, you know, being caught and come around. Had a shark on as well, put that underneath and had the shark filmed as we were catching it. pretty cool.
Is it okay? Well, why don't you post it on YouTube?
Well, there comes the next issue. Now you have to edit it.
Yeah.
So the editing software is like your basic video software, right? First, you take the import the files, and then you got to do something with it. Now, it's not that hard because a lot of these GoPro things are like real quick clips if you think about it, right? You know, like maybe 8 seconds, then it segues to another 8 seconds with some music behind it and all that. And you can make it, I'll make something up and I'll post it to YouTube. We have enough clips in there to do that. Most of the stuff, though, the camera's on the end. Here's what's interesting. So the camera's on the end of the stick and it's facing you and it's right side up, right? Now you take it and turn it upside down. You stick it in the water. Everything's upside down.
Yeah, you can fix that in post.
You got to rotate it, of course. So I'll put something up. It'll be fun. We had a good amount of fish on. As a matter of fact, I had a dolphin on. Shark came up. Dolphin got really pissed off, or maybe got upset. Better scared out of its life, I guess. That dolphin was jumping like you've never seen.
Was
a dolphin
it a dolphin fish or a porpoise?
No. A dolphin. Mahi-mahi. They call it dolphin. Mahi-mahi. Yeah, mahi-mahi.
A lot of people don't know the difference.
Yeah, we don't eat porpoise. That's just something you don't do. We don't eat flipper. It's a fish. It's pretty ugly, actually, but it's.
Yeah, the dolphin fish is homely.
Yeah, but the colors are incredible. I mean, the yellows and the blues are unbelievable on this fish. I got to send you a picture of the last one I caught. It's beautiful. I caught a bull dolphin.
Good eating.
Ate it that night.
Yeah, mahi-mahi is the best. Yep. It makes a great sandwich.
Yep, exactly. So we'll see what happens with this. There is, I think, a lot of ideas out there that this will be a great holiday gift, but a lot of that's priced in right now. So we'll see. We shall see. Now, one of the big things that's happening this week and why markets may be a little skittish is that the Fed, I talked about this in the beginning, but the Fed is having a meeting. And one of the things that has been starting to come out is that after this really good jobs number that we saw this week, which a lot of it was part-time, as I mentioned, but still a pretty good jobs number and a good recovery in that area, the worry is that the Fed is going to take out their extended period language. You know, hey, we're going to hold interest rates at a exceptionally low for an extended period of time. Conversation is now like, wait a minute, how much longer can they hold this if, in fact, we're seeing this kind of job recovery? Now, there's still no inflation to speak of from the official numbers. And now we have things also like oil, which is helping out, you know, helping out the economy. You see oil dropping down to 62.5. Do you know that gas is as low as $2 a gallon in some places?
I saw the $1.99 on the online.
Yeah, Oklahoma City. I was thinking about going there and calculating how much it would cost me to get there and the savings I would have, and didn't work out.
No.
But Oklahoma City gas as low as $2 a gallon. And, you know, with that kind of situation, that is a big bump. Once you start going down that low, it's not like changing from $3.20 to $3.05.
No, but it's like, have you noticed that when it did start to drop, which was just a month ago, it's dropped.
Yeah.
It doesn't fool around.
No. No, it's going, gone. And now everybody's talking about $50 oil, $45. I think one of the big firms came out with like $40
oil. $40
oil
on this show.
Yeah, $40. Well, you were first with it, that's all. Way ahead of the curve. Way ahead. It's that harmonica of yours. It gives you superpowers. How's that going, that harmonica?
It's okay.
You're not going to give
us
a
little... I'm working on songs.
You are. A couple little ballads?
Well, yeah, that's it.
So the big question is, with oil dropping as it is and gas dropping as it is, will this now cause a problem for companies like Tesla?
So I'm reading... I'm a subscriber to Strat4, and this, you know, those guys are in Texas, and they have an interesting theory about why the Saudis decided not to pull back a little bit to stabilize gasoline prices, because we apparently have a beef with them over some issue, and they've decided that our business of extracting shale and all the rest of these things, this happened, I believe, in the 70s. Very similar situation. They're all going to crank it up, and we're going to get this $40 oil, and it's going to put out of business all the shale oil or shale gas companies. And we saw it on the last show. Some of the prices, they're already collapsing, right?
We talked about this at length. That was my theory.
Yeah, and well, this yes, but I didn't know there was some sort of a beef. I didn't know
what kind of beef. What's the problem?
I didn't know they were working against us.
What's the beef?
I don't know. I have to go back and look now. I'll have it on the next show. I'll dig it up.
I think over the weekend, also, the reason why the oil continued to move down after it moved down last weekend into Monday and Tuesday was that I think it was I think it was Iran or Iraq. I forgot to which one. But one of them, I think it was Iran, lowered their pricing for oil to China. So it even put more pressure on it.
I don't know.
So they're definitely
whatever
doing
the case
something.
Is, these prices are dropping, mm-hmm. and I think they'll continue to drop, and I think the price of everything is going to go down so far that it'll put a bunch of people out of business who rely on the prices being 80 at least. It's not even close. And will it affect Tesla is the big question. I'm thinking the price of electricity should drop too.
It should. But the big question is that, you know, when you have
– fill it.
We've seen this before. We've seen where, you know, oil is really high. You know, it skyrockets. And F-150s and trucks and all that don't sell as much.
Yeah, this has happened a number of times in the cyclical history of the auto business.
Yeah, and what happens is that it everybody's like, oh, man, you know, I got to really be conscious of oil and gas prices and conservation. And you got the whole thing about the – CO, you know, the carbon emissions and all this stuff. And everybody, oh, I'm not buying these cars anymore. You know, I'm not buying these trucks anymore. And then a year later, 2 years later, when it drops, like, oh, sales of F-150s never better.
Right.
You know?
And the F-150 is a big clunker.
Yeah.
It's huge.
You ever see the F-350?
Oh, my God.
I know.
You might as well just buy a Peterbilt.
Exactly. Or a Caterpillar. You know, just drive around at that. I mean, it's just enormous and loud. Anyway, so we'll see what happens with Tesla. Tesla's been dropping. The price has been dropping on that as well. We've seen a lot of the social media starting to come off. Twitter is still down and going lower. Some of the darlings that were there for a while, for example, Pollo Loco finally dropped off a cliff. Unfortunately, we closed that position and kind of stayed away from it.
At one of those places.
Oh, you got to.
Look at it and I go, this is Taco Bell.
Yeah.
You know, or Taco, there's another one. What's it, Taco Time? There's another one. There's a competitor. There's about three of these. Del Taco.
Yeah, Del Taco, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Del Taco, Taco Bell, and this is the same thing. I don't see how any word has any connection to Chipotle.
Well, it's because they've tried to make it that way, and it's a
it looks like a Taco Bell. It's got the hut. It's got the same building. It's got a drive-through.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Taco Bell and Yum is not doing so well. As a matter of fact, we saw McDonald's same-store sales horrible today. Yum comes out after hours with just a terrible, terrible number. The stock drops up 5 or 6% after the close today, and you know this is because also a lot to do with China. They're not buying, and you know they're talking about now China is going to be reducing their GDP growth forecast below 7, which it still sounds like a good number, but China that's not a good number. Although who knows?
Well, they got to get it down to 4 7 is still too high.
Well, it's good. Well, I mean, it's good if the economy's doing that.
For the billionaires in China, but yeah. Geez.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of news about Uber. Now, over the weekend, there was an article that came out that Broward County, Florida, where I live, they're going to start stopping Uber drivers. I don't know how they're going to know who's an Uber driver. Maybe they'll set them up or something. And if they don't have proper registration or licensure to be, let's say, a limo driver, a livery driver, you know, or, you know,
a livery,
they're going to get fined like crazy.
Now, I'm surprised this hasn't happened everywhere already.
Portland, Oregon is also. Now, I find out today, as I was totally just scrolling through general news. And I see that Portland, Oregon, the Thai government is putting the kibosh on it. Spain is putting the kibosh on it. And this is after, over the weekend, we see, or maybe Friday, that Uber now has a valuation of close to $40 billion.
I'm sure you found that as amusing as I did.
Yeah, very amusing. But people are piling money in. It's a great idea, but there is a question. I was talking to somebody today about it. I said, can you believe they're trying to shut this down? They're like, they should be trying to shut this down. How is it that they don't have to have the same requirements as taxi drivers or limo drivers for that matter?
And yet they operate as a taxi.
Exactly. And there's a few others. There's a company
called
Lyft.
Man, no, they don't, man. This is ride sharing.
Yeah, ride sharing.
Like, I want to ride. I find some guy who is going there, and so he's going to pick me up. That's different.
Yeah, then they're going to start saying the same thing as carpooling.
Yeah, man, carpooling is the same thing.
What's the difference?
No, it's not. It's bullcrap. I mean, you can you can make these arguments, but you know it's bull crap. So that's the problem they have. It's not – these people are in their Uber all day taking rides around. This is a cab service.
Yes, it is. And the cab companies, I mean, have a point. I don't know, you know, you would think that – I don't know. You know, what's the valuation of a cab? I mean, in New York, what's a medallion? $1.2 million?
Something like that.
$1.2 million to drive a cab. That seems a little ridiculous.
You know, it's an investment. You get to sell it for $1.3 million.
I talked to a guy. I think I told you about this. I talked to a taxi driver. I said, well, you know, how do you do that? Well, it cost me, I don't know what it costs. It's like a house. You know, you do a 30-year deal on it. And
amortize it.
Yeah, you put down a certain amount of money and you finance it. And it costs you like, you know, $1,500 a month or so, whatever the number was that they were saying it costs. And, you know, then you take, you know, you own the car and you pay it off in like 8 years, hopefully. That's not a bad business, you know, $1.2 million for a business and you pay it off in 8 years and make money along the way. But now there was also something, I didn't catch this entirely, but there was some death or something in an Uber car that made the headlines.
There was a rape in an Uber car. We know that some girl fell asleep in the back seat. So the guy says, oh, she fell asleep. That must mean she wants to have sex with me. And there was probably going to be a few other issues like that.
Yeah, and in India, if you want to get the passing for Uber, if you want to apply for Uber and get a your background check done, and even if maybe you don't have a good background to be checked, it costs you $130. You can bribe the police and.
Sounds like India.
Yeah. That's going on tonight, too. So there's a.
I think you're probably up at the 200.
But what's interesting is this: all of a sudden, this is a full court press, clearly, by the taxi and limousine services.
It took them long enough.
Yeah, exactly. All of a sudden. Now, I don't know if you saw this story. Well, a couple of things. First, let's say congratulations to Warren Buffett. He made it back to the number two position as the world's wealthiest man.
Well, who was number. Well, of course, this is, we don't
Bill Gates.
Know.
Bill Gates.
No, Bill Gates is number one.
Yeah.
But who was number two before Buffett got back to number two?
I think it was Carlos Slim.
Oh, that could be.
And I don't know where the rest of the gang is.
No, that would be Carlos yeah. Slim.
Now, we've been talking about Comcast a lot, and this I thought was a fascinating discussion. How there are two East Bay. Where's East Bay?
Bay is where I live in the East Bay.
Okay, East Bay. Two East Bay residents are suing Comcast for plugging their home's wireless router into what they called a power-wasting, internet-clogging, privacy-threatening network of public Wi-Fi hotspots. And this class action suit that was just filed in San Fran claims that Comcast is exploiting them for profit by using their home's router as part of a nationwide network of public hotspots. Can you believe this?
I heard about they were going to do this.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought there was a protest, and I thought they decided not to do it.
Can you imagine that, though? Security issues?
Oh, yeah, the security issues are horrible.
So you're going to rent a Comcast router / wireless modem, and you're going to use it for your house and do your thing, and it's basically going to broadcast a signal, like a guest signal, I guess, right? For anybody that has a Comcast account, that they could use that as a public Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yeah, disparaging your IP address, I might add.
That's unbelievable. They can't get away with that, can they?
Well, if it's part of the contract, they can. If they just part of the, what you sign off on, sure. Sure they can.
Why can't they next just somebody say, well, I know it sounds ridiculous, but we'll just use your cell phone's 3G or LTE signal and let other people piggyback on that.
Well, because Comcast doesn't run your cell phone.
Right, but if the other carriers want to do that. And why do you need a Wi-Fi hotspot these days anyway, where I never understood this. Everybody's like, oh, my son was coming home from school. And she said, oh, he's going to be on the bus. And good news, the bus has Wi-Fi. I'm thinking, what's the difference? He's got a phone with LTE or 4G on it. What's the difference? Is there a difference?
Well, yeah, there is something of a difference. I mean, it depends on what your plan is. I know that with my plan, because I have a $30 a month plan for my phone, which makes me look like a cheapskate, but I hate these things. I have a unlimited data and unlimited text. But if I'm going to use my phone as a hi-fi as a hotspot, I can only use it through a that's capped.
But what do you need? What I'm saying is, if you have a phone where most people do all of their, you know, emails and looking at their Facebooks, like, you know, incessantly, and
what if you want to use your laptop?
All right, if you want to use your laptop, I'll give that to you. Fine, I'll give it to you.
No, you're right. No, if you're just going to random Wi-Fi, you probably have a plan that covers your data on the phone.
Right. When the kids only use this, they use the Snapchat. And we were fishing. My son's like, "Oh, you need to take a picture of me for my Snapchat story."
I'm like, "No, please."
I'm like, what's a Snapchat story? Well, you take a few pictures and you add. It's basically a photo stream. And you add it to it, and you do a story, and people then, "Oh, I got 100 likes on my Snapchat story." I'm like, "Oh, that sounds nice." You know, that's so wonderful.
Yeah, it's baffling, but...
And all it is a series of pictures that you take of yourself.
Typically, yeah.
You know, sticking your tongue out.
Here
you know,
I am doing this.
Doing a smirk of some sort. And,
kind of pathetic if you think about it.
Yeah, well, it's all about me. You know, all about that. I got to tell you something, though. I was sitting around and I was looking around. The people that just peruse or stalk or whatever they're doing on Facebook is really quite over the top. They just can't get away from looking what other people are doing.
Well, I know. It's another good reason not to be on Facebook at all.
Yeah, I just don't understand it. It's like a constant, oh, look what they're doing. Somebody, we were somewhere and my wife said, oh, don't put a picture of where we're going. I'm thinking, what's going on? Oh, we don't want everybody knowing where we're going because the people will be mad that we didn't invite them. I'm like, this is what it's come to? Everybody has to always be upset that they didn't get invited somewhere. Well, maybe they were doing something we should have been invited to.
Send them a complaining note.
How come we weren't invited? We saw it on Facebook. You know? Everybody else was there but us. Oh, gosh.
At some point, that is actually going to kill the whole thing because you can't do anything without people. I mean, if you have a party and somebody's taking photos of the party and of all the people at the party, and then it's associated with you, you're going to get grief from people you didn't invite because sometimes you don't want to invite everybody.
Or worse than that, they'll show up.
Oh, yeah, that would be bad.
You know, hello. Oh, hello. You were in the neighborhood? Yes.
You get annoyed with people who always want to take pictures just of, you know, oh, let's take a picture. It's, you know, these pictures are annoying.
Yep. Let's see here. 10-year treasury yield hit the lowest level ever today.
Which means it's a positive sign for the U.S. economy.
It's very, very good, it seems.
2.21%.
Yep. And that is pretty amazing with a recovery going on and with good jobs numbers, stock market that was going up, has been going up, and all things saying, hey, things are so great. Got to wonder what's going on there. And the idea that the Fed is starting to scale back on their stimulus. How does that all equate? How do you put that together and make any, like if you were teaching a class on this, how would you explain this to the people that are sitting in the class that, you know, don't really understand about finance and all that and explain, okay, here's how things work. Here's basics of finance. And understanding that, you know, the bonds are being bought for safety, but yet at the same time, they're usually bought when things are bad and people are looking to move money into fixed income that are guaranteed by the U.S. government. When that's not the case and when things are really good.
Right. When do you have a situation where people are buying stocks and bonds at the same time is one of the issues, it seems to me.
Right, exactly. How do you explain that?
And oil's coming down in price, and that's not affecting anything because the dollar is pretty stable at 123, and gold is bouncing around just randomly, it seems. And then you have to explain all that.
Yeah, they'd be looking, and then you give them a test on it, and you give them all.
I don't know how you would explain it. It'd have to be world money supply flying around and going into, you know. I think it's just all this stuff flowing into the country.
But you would just, it's still, well, first of all, realize
that you have like two groups. You have a bunch of freaks that are buying the bonds because they're worried sick, and then you have a bunch of people buying the stocks because they're, you know, go-getters at the same time. I don't know. It's unaccountable.
Well, one of the things is that while we are the, I guess we could pretty much say from an economic standpoint that the U.S. is the strongest economy in the world right now, at least stable and moving in the right direction.
And safe. And I think China. China's probably in some ways bigger or will be, but it's not, you can't trust it. You don't even know if you're buying a company that really exists.
Right.
But so it's not like, it doesn't seem like a great investment opportunity.
Well, the other thing is, if I was to tell you this, if I say, hey, let's not put the names of the countries on the placard. You know, blind taste test here, okay? And I was to say, John, here's the deal. I have country A, whose economy is strong, you know, on a relative basis, and whose numbers and all that are, you know, accountability and the political environment is solid and all that. And their bonds are yielding 2.21. I have another country over here whose situation is really not that good. The government is trying all sorts of stimulus to get things going. And their bonds are yielding 1.5%. Well, does that, you know, what do you do with that? You clearly go, why shouldn't I buy the country with the stronger backbone and the economic stability? And for whatever reason, they're a better deal, safer, and they're 2.21. That's the deal.
Yeah.
You know, European bonds are below U.S. bonds at this point.
That makes no sense. That's the thing that doesn't make any sense.
Right. So that's what's going on, I think, in terms of how, you know, this whole thing is going. And it makes sense to, you know, and even if you wanted to somehow sell those bonds, you know, do a pair trade, if you will, you know, it's better off buying the bonds here, borrow from over there at lower interest rates and buy the bonds here. I don't know how long that lasts, though. Can't last forever.
No, but it's probably going to last longer than we think it will.
Yeah, which has been, you know, the case so far. So before we get to the stocks, let's talk about the end of the year because it's approaching pretty rapidly. We have, I don't know, how many trading days? If it's the 9th and the 30, 20 days, we have, what, 15 days or so for trading? Maybe? And taking out weekends?
Yeah, I think you're right.
About 15 days of trading. So you're thinking right now, where's the Dow? Dow's at 17, let's look here, 17,800. 200, round number, 200 points away from 18,000. Not too bad. It's like 1.5% to get to 18,000.
Yeah.
So you're still thinking that by the end of the year, we're going to touch or exceed, even if we touch it intraday, that's good, but touch or exceed 18,000.
Well, if you're going to give me intraday, I'd put money on it.
All right. So end of year, somehow, magically or not, regardless of data, whatever it is, 18,000 is definitely attainable.
I believe so.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it either because, like we saw today, the intraday move was 200 points today or maybe 180 points on the Dow. So if we could do an intraday move like that from down to up, it would seem logical that we can creep higher. I mean, if you could take that kind of turnaround in a day with all the pressures around the world and then turn it into a day that didn't really even move the needle, although the Dow was down 50 points, I think, but still, nothing major. So, yeah, I wouldn't bet against it. Whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing in terms of, you know, all the background, I wouldn't bet against it. So there you go.
All right.
Let's take a look at the stocks. These are stocks that we look at on a regular basis. And for some reason, my thing isn't coming up here. We track these on a Google spreadsheet that brings all the data in from Google Finance, and none of my stuff is showing up. Is yours working?
I'm clicking, waiting.
I got rid of
it. No, it's not showing up at all. It's dead.
There you go. Something's wrong with Google.
No, yeah, they're all dead. All the percent change is dead. The last is dead. It's dead.
Yeah, let me see if I can do a refresh here.
I don't think you can get it to work. It's something wrong with Google. We have a Google outage.
Sometimes there's only a couple of them here or there.
I noticed that on the second sheet, the entry in last is at least working, unless you close it so it's closed.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, okay.
On the bottom.
Then it's dead.
Oh, it's starting to come up. Oh, it's starting to come up.
Oh, maybe it's just temporary.
It's temporary here. Well, I can read you the ones that are good. We have actually the last several positions that we've had have not done well. TransCanada is down 5.5%. Apple, your short, is down 7%. Panera's flat. IBM's flat. Lexicon Pharmaceuticals, that can go either way.
Well, yeah, but this is always the case with our picks. They take a while to catch.
Yeah.
We never nail the exact time. I mean, except for that Netflix one.
Amarillo.
Damn near hit that sucker. Yeah, and you've done it a couple times.
Zodius.
But that's always a fluke.
Twitter's it's mine, Twitter. Twitter is up 29%. Generally speaking, you know, AT&T, by the way, got hit today. That was on the Verizon. That was on the Verizon warning. Verizon came out with a pretty substantial warning today, with some kind of a fact that they're losing money because they're selling so many phones.
What a business. There's a business I want to be in.
Dick's Sporting Goods down 8%. It's still surprising to me that Dick's is, after some of the problems they've had and with the guns and all that. As a matter of fact, with the giant recall that recently happened on guns, which you probably talked about that on No Agenda, did you? There's a big, gigantic recall. Yeah, that's something that you don't want to have recalled. You know, brakes in your car, not good to have recalled.
Yes, I can't have brakes recalled.
You know, that's just not, I mean, there's a lot of things you can, okay, I could tolerate that my power windows don't work and they got to recall those.
Well, it's almost like the flu shots. They're kind of pulling them off the market.
Yeah, that you don't want to have recalled either.
Yeah.
Yeah, and guns, no, I don't think so, you know? But anyway, so we've had
we're going to have to talk about this on the next show, I think.
I'm live. I just went live.
I didn't go live yet.
All right. Anyway, Bank of California up nicely. TransDigm up nicely. You're doing a lot better right now than I am, I must tell you. Panera Bread's flat to down. Ulta. Oh, we got to talk about Ulta. Ulta Salons. Remember I said the pattern?
Yeah.
And you said the pattern's usually, as soon as you know a pattern, they go.
They stop working.
Yeah, you were right. You're totally
right. Good for me. Yeah.
We're off 4.5% on that. Actually, when the earnings came out, they guided down pretty well for the next quarter, but their numbers this time beat pretty nicely. And the stock is up close to 6%, although it came down to only up about 3%, and then it came down another 2% into it. So still, but it was still up pretty well from where it was when we entered at 122. It's at 127 right now. What interesting names do you have for this week?
Okay, before you do that, I want to just do one thing, see if I can get this to work on a different browser so it actually comes up. Since you say it's coming up, I'm just getting the cash over and over and over again. It's not helping. Let me try this. Nope, yeah. Still not there. Okay, whatever.
That's
your side. Yep. Your side of the country is working. Mine's not.
Yep.
Yeah, I have looking around and I see one thing. And this is, you know, this is, it's cheap. It's a penny stock. Well, it's not quite a penny stock, but it's close to it. The stock is SFXE.
Okay, let me go over here. And S is one of those you have to like phonetically.
SF San Francisco XE.
All right, well, for some reason, I got a circle of death here. SF. S-E?
X-E.
X-E, yeah.
San Francisco Extra with an X.
It's an entertainment company.
Yeah.
It's like Safe Sex.
Safe Sex.
Yeah, okay. So up 3.7% today. Let's see what these guys do. Producer of live events and entertainment content focused on the electronic. Oh, so this is the rave deals. This is the, this is Life in Color events. These are great. These are really cool with paint parties and all that.
Yeah, this is not taken off. And let me tell you why I'm buying this or looking at it. It's because it's of the, again, insider buying, which got my attention. And the guy is dedicated. And let me just read you. This guy is this chairman and CEO. So he's probably the guy.
That's Robert Sillerman?
Sillerman.
Yep.
So Sillerman started buying the stock in October. And first he bought 500,000 shares at $5. And then he bought 75,000 shares, I guess, pin money for $4.28. Then he bought another 181,991 for $3.80. And then which means he's now at the bottom. So he picked it up again at 408. Then he picked some more up at all the same amount, 180, 1991, which makes you think of some sort of an option or something. 416. They bought some more at 427. They bought some more. And these are all 100, 200,000. These are typically around $200,000, 200,000 shares, about $1 million a pop.
Wow.
Now, out of the blue, which is always suspicious to me, 2 days after he made a small purchase, at 421, he buys 1.33 million shares for $5.6 million.
Wow.
That is suspicious.
Interesting. And what to further this, tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the morning, Eastern, they're going to be presenting at the UBS Global Media and Communications Conference. So who knows if this is going to be a big announcement made.
Might be. Whatever the case is, this seems like a the opportunity to buy.
Okay, SFXE.
Yeah, SFXE.
SFXE. And suspicious.
Suspicious buying.
Yeah, suspicious buying. I like that. Suspicious.
Because I don't think he's buying to prop up the stock.
I suppose.
Which he's managing to do a little bit, but it's, you know, the stock is, I think, it's down there. But at the same time, it is an interesting company.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I've seen some of the stuff they're doing, and they have, the concerts down in Florida, the big rave concerts that are down here, attracts just enormous.
No, I saw one. I don't know if they did this one, but this is about a year ago. I'm in Alameda. I forgot even why I was there, but I could hear in Alameda, which is probably about 4 miles away from this event. I just kept hearing this. Thump, thump.
No, that's it. Yep.
And so I come up the freeway and then I go past the Oakland Coliseum, and there's not like an event in the Oakland Coliseum. The entire parking lot of the Raiders Stadium is one giant white tent that is, I don't know, 4 acres of tent. I'm not sure. It was monstrous. And inside the white tent, you can see these glowing lights spinning around, and it was just, you could see there's something going on inside, like, and it was colorful. And there was this loud racket coming out of it. I mean, it was ridiculous. Fum, fum, fum. It was very loud and noisy. You could hear it on the freeway. It was like it was a rave of some sort. And it was covered in the news, and I forgot what they called it. They didn't call it a rave. They called it something. But it was, what it was a rave.
Right.
And it was packed.
Yep.
You could tell it was packed, but there must have been, I don't know, 50,000 people in there. I mean, it was at least 20,000, let's say. There's lots. There's thousands.
All drugged up and trancing.
They're all drugged up, probably on E.
Uh-huh.
And they were listening to trance music or whatever, that one of those styles of music that sound good if you're taking certain drugs. And it's kind of repetitive.
And that's why they have the lights, too. You know, lights like, hey, dude, check those lights out.
And I don't know. Everyone was having a great time. It sounds like there's no shootings.
So. Yeah, well, those shootings, they barely pick up a gun.
But,
you know?
Whatever the case
was. They're all shirtless.
It looked like a moneymaker to me.
And it probably stinks to hell with the sweat in there.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Oh, awful.
And the thing is, people don't know to wear ear protection. I can always spot someone who is, they're like in their 20s or 30s. Most of them in their 30s by now, maybe early 40s. And they were big fans of metal.
That's me. Ozzy Osbourne. My right ear is like, it's obviously something to do with that.
And every time I run into one of these people, hey, John, hi. Why are you yelling at me? And then they're always saying, huh? Because you say, well, yeah, let's go over to this spot over here. What? You know, we'll walk over there with me. What? They're deaf.
I got way too close to a speaker at an Ozzy Osbourne concert, I think. I remember it. And to this day, and now my right ear is really a mess. I went to all these ear doctors, and he's looking at me and he's like, yeah, we see you have a problem. Because I have this, I feel like I constantly have water in my ear for the last month. So I'm thinking maybe it's a sinus thing or something like that, you know? So I go to the doctor, and he's, I can't see anything there. It looks a little swollen. I don't know. Take these antibiotics, take this, you know, this steroids and all this stuff. And then I go back to him and say, nah, you know, we know you got a problem. He's like, nothing there. I'm like, what do you mean nothing? What do you mean nothing there? Well, now I got to go to some very strange sounding doctor. Listen to this. I got to go. I got it right here. I got to go to a neuro-otologist. What is that?
I don't know. Never heard of it.
Another guy that's going to say he doesn't know what it is.
A specialist. Special.
So I go to the guy a few times, special. $75 each time for the specialist fee, right? To tell me, I don't see anything. I'm like, what is that? Can I pay if you fix me? I mean, how is it that you go to a doctor, you pay, and there's no satisfaction? It's like you go into a store, and I'm going to pay for a shirt, and I don't get a shirt.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's like. Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, I worked in a lot of factories, and I always learned to wear ear protection, and I always wore ear protection when I went to concerts. And I don't really have I just have the normal aging issues with my ears, but I don't have this damn near deaf from going to metal concerts and not wearing protection problem that a lot of friends of mine have, and they yell at you.
I was at a concert with someone. His name was Richard. And I remember very distinctly him putting the napkins in his ear.
Okay. I've actually done that too. Yeah. I forget ear protection. In the olden days, I would grab some Kleenex or go to the bathroom, grab some toilet paper.
Right. Well,
it wasn't as effective as a good Bilson. The fiberglass ones are the best because they transmit. So you get the fidelity without the loss of the high ends.
Well, I got to tell you, about 3 months after the concert, he's telling me how he's got the worst problem. He can't hear. Just cannot hear out of his right ear or left ear, whatever it was.
Turns out that the paper was stuck in there. Yeah.
The paper was lodged all the way down.
Yeah. That almost happened to me once.
Gosh. Anyway. All right. Well, we'll end it there. I'll see you next week, and we'll get ready for a Merry Christmas. I do expect you to have a shortened version of We Wish You a Merry Christmas harmonica style for next time.
Yes.
Can we do that?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think a lot of people would really... There we go.
Oh, you want I wish you a Merry Christmas. That's a little more complicated.
All right. Well, how about...
I'll work on it.
Mary Had a Little Lamb?
No.
No? All right. Whatever you can do would be great. All right. I'll see you next week.
Adios.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.